It's showtime.
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 28th day of April, 2021. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us live on the interweb tubes between the hours of 5 and 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, Monday through Friday. And this would be the middle of the week. This would be hump day. This would be Wednesday. This would be downhill to Friday. And that means prayer meeting Wednesday, into the bargain. Yes, indeed. If you pop by the chat room right now, you'll find yourself immediately welcomed and greeted by Roger in Oregon and Squeaky. And, well, I'm your moderator. I don't know how much moderating I'm going to get done. It's kind of hard to do the program and ride shotgun on the chat room at the same time. But, yeah, I'll do my best. And come on by. We'll have a grand old time. Grand old. Yeah, maybe I shouldn't do that. But anyway, you'll enjoy it. And of course, every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So thanks go out to our 28th day of the month subscribers. Thanks, indeed, for being partial sponsors of the program. Yes, indeed. So that means thanks. Thanks so kindly to Charlene in Rogues Island. And thanks to Sharon. And thanks ever so kindly to our pal Randy in PA. And thank you to Suman. Thank you all so very much for helping keep the program on the air. It is, is much appreciated because it's the only way we managed to keep this going. And I got to tell you, the final week of April has turned out to be a bit of a struggle and kind of scary. So where are we? What is it, 1170? Yeah, I think so. No, it's 870. We're 870 to catch up with where we are this evening, and 1470 to finish the month of April. Whew! Yeah, so that can be, it's scary. It is. So if you'd like to help out, it's much, much appreciated and much obliged. And doggone it, it's how this program has continued for as long as it has. Just to get us started, as usual, Robin, from Mussolini to Goosolini. Some days, Joey's journal just writes itself, and this is definitely one of them. Robin, you mentioned Mussolini on yesterday's program, and wouldn't you know it, on this day in 1945, Benito Mussolini and his mistress, Claretta Petacci, were executed as they sat before a firing squad. And Jeffrey's already on it. According to a source close to the wife of Benito, generally speaking, Mrs. Mussolini, Rachel, did not think too highly of the mistress, but garnered a whole new respect for Benito's mistress when she willingly sat in for her at the firing squad ceremony. Benito's wife later said, "It is too bad that she will not be around anymore, because even after she got fired upon, I was still willing to give her a good reference." Actually, Rachel attempted to escape to Como, Italy, but when she attempted to say, wait for it, yes, when Rachel arrived in Como, Italy, and attempted to say, "Como, Italy, vu." Oh, my God. Como, Italy, vu. The Italian natives were having none of it and said no-no to her in Como and turned over to the U.S. Army. Eventually, she was released and went on to run a bakery until she died in 1989 died at 89 in 1979. And so... Joey notes, we have several dozen Canadian geese that hang around Gojo, and a lovely couple of geese are attempting to have a family just outside the south garage door of the shipping area. I naturally refer to the gander, male goose, as Gusolini, because he's in protective mode right now, because his wife, Mrs. Gusolini, is about to hatch the goslings. Gusolini the gander squawks at me every time I come through the garage doors. He looks down at me from his perch, which is a little flower garden just above the southern garage door. And Jeffrey takes a gander. Look at this. Joey refers to Gusolini's perch as, you guessed it, Joey refers to Gusolini's perch as Gander Mountain. It's days like this that I believe in a greater force. I frankly don't buy the whole baby Jesus bullshit of the Bible, Joey says, because the evidence just isn't there, but I choose to call myself a Christian because in all reality, Jesus Christ might have been the greatest advocate for socialism that ever lived. For whatever reason, about 1:30, Gusolini was squawking at me in a ferocious manner. Mind you, I'm not normally out on the south dock at that hour, but for some reason I was drawn there today. Something told me to check out the south garage at that moment, and when I did, there was Gusolini just squawking away well beyond his normal squawk. So just out of curiosity, I walked up the stairway just to check on his nesting wife. No sooner did I do that when a big old hawk swooped down and attacked the expecting mother goose. The hawk did not see me, but I saw the hawk, and just instinctively and impulsively I charged at the hawk as the hawk was wounding the mother goose. The hawk had badly wounded the mother's leg and was about to take off with the gosling when the big bird spotted me and let the gosling go and took off. I called Animal Protective Services to see what could be done for the mother who could just not walk but could only fly. She still had two goslings to try and protect, one on one very wounded leg, and just then maybe a dozen geese flew over to the wounded gosling and surrounded her and the goslings. Well, I don't know about you, but that brought tears to my eyes. Animal Protective Services told me the geese are very family-oriented, and one of the other female geese will likely help take care of the goslings until they're fully grown. They told me to keep an eye out for the mother, and if she is still too wounded to walk, they'll send somebody down to try to capture her. I have to tell you, Robin, that the person who wrote the email last night taking a cheap shot at you for your new chosen lifestyle really wounded me. And I got to talk about that in a minute. I just did not expect that from this person. This individual was all hung up on the fact that you were discussing Joe Manchin. Well, maybe this person should have made a few trips to Georgia to see how hard so many of us worked down there to have two senators elected, and now just one motherfucker Joe Manchin is going to blow up the Biden presidency and the progressive agenda for what? And hung like Jesus lives in Georgia, not giving away any secrets. He's made that clear in the past. And I think the whole thing is a giant misunderstanding, and I apologize for my part in it. And I'm going to take a moment here and just address that, because I do not like conflict in our community. I'm proud of the fact that we can disagree without being disagreeable. And I am... part of my growth as a human being, which does not end, that hopefully we continue to grow as human beings all through our living lives. I mean, the growth kind of ends when they dirt nap you. But even then, you're still part of an ecosystem. Never mind. I took what Hung said to be a direct attack on me, and maybe I shouldn't have done that. And he wrote back, rather pissed off, even more so, in the last 24, well, since the podcast published, whatever, and complained that I had made him an asshole and reminded me that he had congratulated me on my coming out and my transition. And I said I did remember that, and I do appreciate it. And I continue to appreciate it. But people get upset. And I'm sorry to be using Joey's journal for this, but Joey raised the issue, and I wanted to make sure that it was as clear as I could possibly make it. A lot of us remain on edge. A lot of us remain stressed out for a variety of reasons, but, you know, a year of a pandemic and watching people not take it seriously and watching people spread the damn disease carelessly or intentionally is frustrating and infuriating. Also terrifying. If one is a person of color, and if one is not, but much more near to the reality of it, if one is watching the day in and day out parade of bloodshed that comes from the police in the United States, blowing away mostly young black men, but certainly young black women as well, well, it can take a toll. And I understand that. And again, one of the things that I'm learning to do is when I make a mistake, I am learning to apologize for it. And so I will apologize. And I have. And I will only add this. And I've said it in the past, and I will say it again here. Because I think it is central to our ability to remain better people than the people that we talk about and report on any given day. We are not maggots. We are not the kind of people who walk around wearing T-shirts and say, Trump 2020, fuck your feelings. Or Trump 2020, he can grab my pussy anytime. We're not those people. Or at least we like to think we're not those people. And I hope we're not those people. But I have said repeatedly that a great operating philosophy where our community is concerned is to assume good faith. Assume good faith. If you're frustrated, if you don't like something on the program, don't write in and leave it open to interpretation that it's some sort of an attack. Make your statement clear. Tell me what it is that upset you. Tell me why you're upset. And if it's my fault, I will apologize and I will try to remedy the situation. If it involves me remedying my behavior, I will try to do that. If I need to remedy my language, I will do that. I've been doing it for 20 years because this is not just that. This isn't an entertainment. I hope it is occasionally entertaining, but it is not an entertainment. This is not the Joe Rogan Experience, and Spotify hasn't handed me a cool $100 million to do this every day. We struggle to survive here. We struggle to keep the program on the air. Shit, for years we struggled just to keep the rain out of the house. And that's not me crawling up on the cross, because I know we all need the wood. But assume good faith. Assume that if I say something, I'm not saying it to hurt anybody, and I'm not saying it to be mean to anyone, to be cruel to this community that has come so beautifully together over the years. If you must assume anything, assume good faith. And I need to do the same too. I got a cross and cranky email And I violated my own rule. I did not assume good faith. And that's on me. And that is my fault. And for that, I have to be big enough to apologize. And apologize I do. You know, there were complaints in there about the fundraising and about trying to keep the program going and my whatever. I still don't know what my whatever is. But if we assume good faith, those ugly little moments won't happen. And I hope we can. Because there is a larger issue here. And it is something that I've been seeing and discussing with people, not on the program, but afterward, and, you know, during the day, offline. And that is that a lot of progressive media, especially of the independent variety, is struggling right now. I've talked about how if I talk about trans issues, suddenly half the audience disappears.
Ew!
But it's not just me, and it's not just trans. There are a lot of programs where numbers are down by half or more since the inauguration. And maybe it's because the coming of spring and people are feeling like going out, and maybe they've gotten their vaccines and they're trying. Maybe that's what it is. I have no answers. But the other thing I'm afraid of is that we're doing what we on our side are so extremely good at doing, and that is taking our eyes off the ball. Oh, well, Joe Biden's won. The insurrection failed. Everything's right with the world. Don't need to pay attention. Don't need to use my activist voice. We can just sit back and relax because we got the House and we got the Senate and we got the presidency. And, well, there's that Supreme Court problem. But we don't really have the Senate because we have Joe Manchin. But still, things are pretty good. And Biden's doing a great job and everything's hunky-dory. Well, it's not. And it's really, really strange to see see programs, not just this one, struggling because it appears we've taken our eye off the ball again. And you know, campaigns now, I foolishly thought that once the presidential election was over and we'd gotten over the business of the transfer of power and everything, that maybe the politicians would stop sucking all the financial oxygen out of the room. Silly me. Because we didn't. And they didn't. And levels of engagement are, wait, maybe people just get excited and nervous and flummoxed and frustrated and scared and in the run-up to election, and then we just need a breather. I don't know, but I have struggled over this thing for 24 hours now, pretty much. And I hope I have addressed it, and I hope perhaps we'll put it to bed. And I hope going forward we will assume good faith. Because that's the only hope we have. And I'm not talking about this radio community, this online community. I'm not this wonderful little. I'm talking about the entirety of us on our side trying to get accomplish our goals. And it is in jeopardy. One of the things that I was thinking about has to do with the news that came out, and Matt in San Francisco referenced it last night when he said, I don't think my home's value would have doubled in 5 years if people were fleeing California in droves. And yet, for the first time in 170 years, California has lost a congressional seat, while Texas picked up two. And I can be just paranoid enough. And remember, paranoia is the unreasonable fear that people are out to get you. If it's reasonable, it's not paranoia. So maybe this isn't paranoia. This is just reasonable concern. A while back, Governor Greg Abbott, asshole, started hooting and hollering about how, oh, Texas has freedom, so we're going to get businesses to come from California, yay. And then you get an asshole like Elon Musk, who moves his shit to Texas, in part, I think, because people in California had the gall to stand up to him and want better and more decent working conditions. And things weren't going so great in Nevada. So off to the deregulated hellscape of Texas he ran. But what if it was all a big setup? What if they've been working on this a lot longer than we have? What if, way back when we were talking about the 2016 election, and I begged people, please, put all this Hitlery bullshit behind you and go and vote for Hillary Clinton so that we will not have an orange madman at the helm of government because that person is going to be in charge of the 2020 election? What if the deliberate undercounting that was the 2020 census, in which the nitwit Nero regime had to be dragged into court repeatedly just to try to have some semblance of fairness, what if the plan all along was to fuck deep blue states out of representation? I mean, it's not just deep blue states. West Virginia is going to lose a congressional seat. And frankly, I'm not all broken up about that because we weren't really doing anything with ours. We've got three maggots in there. Crazy Carol Miller and Representative Looney Mooney and Representative Pornstache McKinley. They're all three of them as useless as teats on a boar. But what if this is part of the plan? What if this is how they get the House back in 2022? What if this is how Jim Shorts Jordan becomes chairman of the House Judiciary Committee? These are the kinds of things I think about. But I've run rather far afield. But since Joey brought it up in the Journal, I really, really did want to address it. So what Joey went on to say is, as far as I'm concerned, you could and should be talking about Joe Manchin 24 hours a day, because if we do not end the filibuster and pass, if nothing else, the For the People Act, we will lose this next election badly and lose democracy right along with it. I just hope, Joey concludes, the Horn family can take a lesson from the geese today. You know, we've formed some cliques along the way in this family, no big deal. We're not all going to agree with each other, and some of us won't even like each other. Believe it or not, there are people in the Wednesday prayer meeting Horn family that don't like Jeffrey and me or Joey's Journal. That's okay. We can and should still come together as a group, just like the geese did today, and see the bigger picture. And Jeffrey finishes the conversation. So appropriately, I will say, in regards to the person who took a cheap shot at Robin last night, if we don't hang together, we and democracy will all surely hang separately. Please keep that in mind. This has been Joey's Journal for Prayer Meeting Wednesday, the 28th day of April, 2021, with Giraffe trying to just hang on to our democracy. And so there is a $10 Goose the Pot challenge. Thank you, Joey. Thank you, Giraffe. And if somebody will match that 10 bucks, then we will get down to 850. 850 and have and you know, maybe we got a fighting chance at finishing April okay. And it really is a lot of independent media generally. I get an email two or three a day from Truthout, for instance, that makes it sound like they're sweating their very existence, and they do good work. And I just wonder where we all went. I mean, everybody is struggling. So, there we go. And I hope I have addressed this this issue adequately. If I haven't, shoot me a note and assume good faith and tell me what is lacking. Because there are other problems that need to be solved in this community. Problems I'm aware of. Things that I don't like. And I would like them to be remedied. And if there is any cliquishness, I would like to resolve that. Because we are not supposed to be that way. This is supposed to be a welcoming community. Always has been. And so, you know, I take it to heart. I hope we all do. And thank you. Thank you, Joey, for letting me fill a Robster a little bit in the midst of your journal. Cowbell nominations coming from Billable Rick. Give Joey a cowbell just for coming up with the name Gusolini. Yes, that is quality. And give him another cowbell for trying to protect Mother Goose from the hawk. Brave man. Yeah. Nature is brutal. Nature is hard and can appear bloody and hateful. That hawk was trying to take food home to its babies while the goose was trying to take care of hers. Our pal Nidia also just stepped in and said, I apologize for not being in touch, but I'm working more hours due to the higher demand for behavioral health services. Lord, Nidia, I know. Your profession is and has been taking a battering. Of course, I was one of the first people, I think, to start talking about that crisis by itself, the crisis of need in behavioral health, and the crisis that the providers of behavioral health themselves have been facing and will be facing going forward, because we are brutally underserved and understaffed and underappreciated as regards the way this country looks at behavioral health. But Nidia says, so I don't always hear you live, but have to catch up via podcast. All of this is my way of saying I'm clueless in Charleston and have no idea what conflict you're referencing. So I'm offering a Clueless in Charleston challenge of $50, which I will match. So if there's if there's $60 sitting out there between Joey and Giraffe and Nidia and the Clueless in Charleston challenge, well, it means that we can take our 870 down to 750, which would be tremendous. I'd welcome any feedback, Nidia. I absolutely would. No apologies necessary. And don't apologize about saying Bob, because the intro to the daggum program still says Bob. And that can't be helped, because people are busy, and people have lives, and people have work. And we'll find a way forward. And it is far more likely that that way forward will be a success if we assume good faith. And if you're a little bit lost for what the conversation is about because you didn't catch yesterday's program, you can contact me offline, because I don't want to relitigate it. And by the way, Kyle says, the hawk story reminds me of when I was at my grandma's house and the hawk was going to eat a small bird, I think a robin. And the robin got the smart idea to fly in a corkscrew pattern. About a minute later, the hawk crashed into the window, presumably from dizziness, and the robin got away. We got a good laugh about that. I remember when I worked in Charleston, there was a hawk that nested in one of the high trees on the Capitol grounds. It had moved in because the squirrels that ran around the Capitol grounds were practically tame. They were so sweet. And the hawk, having moved in, thought that it was its personal smorgasbord. And they actually brought in DNR people to relocate the hawk so the squirrels could be safe. Every now and then, the hawk, I'm sure, did not appreciate it. But the squirrels damn sure did. Kyle adds, sorry I'm late to the show, but I found out that the right-wing talkers want to investigate John Kerry even more now because Rudy got raided, because that's on the plate for this evening. I saw the headline earlier about the FBI raiding and searching Rudy Giuliani's premises. And oddly enough, because old DJ brain, the first thing that popped to my mind was The Clash from London Calling singing Rudy Can't Fail. Rudy can fail spectacularly. And so, having had avian references to begin this program, the chickens came home to roost with Rudy. Meanwhile, Kyle points out, also, my mother and brother today used the Daily Caller as a legitimate source to share some anti-vaccine shit. I share a country with these people and a home, too. Help. Help. The stupid is too much for one person to deal with. Oh, that's true. I saw the John Kerry story earlier today. They want to investigate John Kerry. Because treason. Rest assured, there is no treason. No, not at all. But they're mad at him. Mad at John Kerry. And by the way, in addition to the raid on Shea Giuliani, apparently the U.S. Attorney's Office has impaneled a grand jury, and the U.S. District Court have impaneled a grand jury to investigate Rudy Giuliani, and the subpoenas are coming out. This should be more than a little bit interesting. Rudy Giuliani's kid, grown man, is having a conniption. Andrew Giuliani, who thinks he just might be New York gubernatorial timber, he decided to unburden himself of some typical Giuliani family stupidity. Anybody, any American, whether you're red or blue, should be extremely disturbed about what happened here today by the continued politicization of the Justice Department. No shit, he said that. He said it unironically and everything. Oh my God, the politicization of the Justice Department. We finally got a decent attorney general after 4 years of a crooked cracker and then, of course, Bill Barr to prosecution, the human frog. Attorney General Pepe the Frog Barr, Andrew Giuliani's complaining about a politicized Justice Department, which isn't. This is disgusting. This is absolutely absurd, and it's the continued politicization of the Justice Department that we've seen, and it has to stop. Enough is enough, ladies and gentlemen. We cannot stand for this anymore. You know what we can't stand for? Rudy Giuliani running around committing treason. trying to dummy up, gin up, fake up, fraud up a story about Hunter Biden, the Benghazi of our time. You know that. Yeah. But what Kyle says is true. These goobs are all bent out of shape about John Kerry. Over, of course, nothing at all. Oh, well. And we've got, you know, there's this is almost like a catch-up day for Monday and Tuesday, because there's no let-up. By the way, note coming in from Darlene in Connecticut. Yeah, I know. But John Kerry's an agent of the Iran, don't you know? As far as Andrew Giuliani, the politicized Justice Department, Kyle points out, well, there they go, killing irony again. And Darlene, as I mentioned, pointed out year plus of a pandemic. Darlene adds, in 4 years of the Orange Menace that overlapped and led to the pandemic's level of deadliness. Yeah. Because remember, even before the pandemic broke out, we were all waking up every morning going, hey, the planet's still here. The shitbird hadn't blown the place up yet. Another day. Yeah. But Darlene says, I'm not going to bash anyone hung like Jesus. I don't recall the specifics of what he said, and they weren't necessarily clear. I didn't assume good faith, so that's on me. And there have been plenty of times that I've not felt welcome on Friday on the front porch by certain combative individuals that are regulars there. But as a cisgender woman, I appreciate how you're expressing yourself. You are giving me the courage to do the same. Just because I'm female and was born with those parts in coordination with that identity, that does not mean I'm comfortable in my own skin. This culture does not make that easy at all. I am told constantly through images and even directly that I'm not thin enough, not pretty enough, not able-bodied enough. As I age, I'm finally getting to the point in my 50s of saying, fuck it to all that, and it is freeing, so thank you. You helped me get back to painting my nails, and I really like your new hairdo, Robin. Oh, thank you. By the way, what kind of hawk hit the goose? I don't know, but the Canadian and white geese in Connecticut are pretty damn big. Surprised to hear that. Well, I don't know what kind of a hawk it was. But in a vulnerable, and yeah, it would be surprising to see a hawk take on something the size of a Canada goose. But the hawk, being a raptor, was going after the baby. Because whether it's a bald eagle or a hawk or the hawk that was going after the robin that Kyle talked about, they don't like to go after things their own size. They like to attack the small and the weak. And that's been an evolutionarily successful strategy for them. But thank you. Thank you, Darlene. That's a lovely sentiment, even though it is partly born of frustration. And you are not the only one voicing those frustrations. And I hope somehow we can be better and do better at creating a welcoming space. That's always what I've wanted here. And I'm trying really, really hard to be a better person and to pay attention to these things and remedy them where I can. So, thank you, Darlene. Thank you. And, Dave number 11 says, Bic Clicks was funny. I remember the Bic Click. I didn't realize the gravity of the situation. No worries. No worries, Dave. All good. Sorry, Dave. I missed part of that. And that's on me. But we'll sort it out. And Steve in New York, I'll just say, please get to feeling better. I got your note. I read it. I considered it. And I found it worrisome. And I hope you're okay. I hope you're okay. Well, thank you. Don in British Columbia says, I just want to say, please don't assume the worst about your trans situation. I give no never mind about it. I listen to you for many reasons, mostly just to filter out some of the politics I'm indifferent to. I do the same to your trans issues, personal and more widespread. Filter it out. It's not why I listen to you. It's your point of view of politics, your perspective, your historicity, etc. Trans issues are the nearest high point of your life. And hope that it all works out, and I don't hate anyone. Mostly. Mostly. It's that mostly part. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for that, Don. I appreciate it. And, you know, part of this is if you buy, let's say you buy a green car, there's a psychological phenomenon whereby having bought, and I've experienced it, having, you know, this car was sort of a gunmetal blue back in the day, but when you do that, all of a sudden it seems like you see your car everywhere on the road. Not your car, but a car like yours, and they become that it kind of strike it'll strike us as being kind of weird when you notice that so many people have the same car you do. And I guess that is why now that issues relating to marginalized communities, marginalized gender communities, strike me with more force. And this being prayer meeting Wednesday and all, there's a, of course, a Christian angle to this, because good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christians. And we have to go to Franklin, Tennessee for it. Now, Franklin's a nice little community, not too far south of Nash, Vegas. And it has experienced its own boom, as has much of Middle Tennessee over the last couple of decades. It was the site of because all of them pretty much were, a bloody and brutal battle in the Civil War, as Tennesseanians and Talibanians and various and sundry fought to continue the right to own other human beings, a right which ought never have existed in the first place. An economic model that was established that was predicated upon the success of that economic model was predicated upon being able to own other human beings. And it comes through all the way to this day, insofar as, you've got corporations out there, God damn it, if we have to pay $15 an hour, we'll go out of business. Well, that means you never should have been in business, because your economic model for your business is predicated on economic abuse of other human beings. Well, if we have to pay them a living, if they got to have a living wage, shit, how are we supposed to stay in? You're not. You're supposed to go out of business and let somebody who's willing to pay the living wage go into it. And you ever notice the higher paying jobs? So many of them seem to be related to industries that are the most harmful to the ability of human beings to continue living on the planet? About every year or so, you'll get a news story. The best paying jobs are in the oil and nuclear industry. Well, I wonder why that is. I wonder why it is that you can make $30 an hour blowing up mountains and poisoning communities. Because they're willing to pay it in order to do their dirty business. Well, okay, so this isn't the oil industry, but it is Tenistan. No, well, the company in question is called Visuwell. Isn't that clever? V-I-S-U-W-E-L-L. Visuwell. And they do telemedicine, and that's very definitely a growth industry in this day and age. And they had notice the past tense there, the past perfect. They had a CEO by the name of Sam Johnson. Had. Because, you see, Sam Johnson is a Christian. And Sam Johnson has a close personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the Jesus Christ that Sam Johnson has a close personal relationship with hates the homosexuals. And the transes and the Lebanesians just as much as Jesus hates them just as much as Sam Johnson does. And Sam Johnson is all washed in the blood and washed in white privilege. And so it was that there was a high school prom taking place in Franklin, Tennessee. And a boy, a young man, went to his prom with his boyfriend at the Harpeth Hotel in downtown Franklin, Tennessee. The high school student's name is Dalton Stevens, and he and his boyfriend Jacob Geitman were taking pictures before prom. Young Mr. Geitman was reasonably tastefully attired in a suit and tie. But the trouble started because, young Dalton Stevens showed up in an absolutely drop-dead, gorgeous, fire engine red prom dress. Good for him. Cute as hell, just done up. But young Dalton, as far as he can tell, isn't trans. When he was later asked about it all, he said, well, I just view clothing as genderless. And he said, I felt I was very confident. I knew that I felt beautiful, and I felt great. Good for him. Good for him. I'm happy for him. But, well, Sam Johnson, well, he's a Christian, and he's got rights in this here country. And so he comes up to young Dalton and says, you look disgusting. You look ridiculous. You look like an idiot. Men shouldn't be wearing this. And goes on, scattering in some homophobia and the like. And young Mr. Geitman, well, he got out his phone to start recording Sam Johnson. Cancel culture! Cancel culture! Damn it! Cancel culture! No. No. As LeVar Burton pointed out in taking down our little nutmeg on The View a couple of days ago when she was bemoaning cancel culture. He explained to her, I don't think we have a cancel culture problem. We have an accountability culture now. We have a consequences culture now. People cannot get away with what they once got away with. Kind of shut Megan right the hell up, which is always a pleasant, satisfying kind of moment. But anyway, when young Mr. Guyton took out his phone to record the incident, Sam Johnson, Christian, slapped the phone out of his hands. Mr. Guyton reached down and picked it up, and then Sam Johnson swung at him a second time, but he missed. Well, kinda, because he hit young Mr. Stevens in the back. Interviewed, Sam Johnson said, that was false! And because there is an almost immediate, the grievance culture of the white wing is so relentless and so quick to swing into action, well, Newsmuck interviewed him. And he said he approached Mr. Johnson and Mr. Guyton because they were being loud and cursing and saying vulgarities. My, oh my. And then, grabbing his handy pogo stick, he bounced right up onto the cross and got nailing. As a Christian, I think all people are created equal. I don't have any ill feelings toward these teenagers. I think they have the right to do whatever they want, but I should also have the right to ask a question if I want to about what they're doing. No, you don't, dickhead. You goddamn fucking marvelous, magnificent asshole of an idiot. You don't have that right. Why the hell are you wearing a dress? Why the hell are you wearing pants? Don't you know that pants were invented by the Persians and they're now the Iranians? What are you, some sort of terrorist? But he didn't. He did go and say, why are you wearing that? And he said, I called him an idiot. Because I'm a Christian, and I got a right to call somebody an idiot if I want to. But frankly, I should not have done that. I apologize to Dalton for that comment already, but the tensions were so elevated at that moment while I was trying to re-enter the restaurant, which they accused me on social media of following the teen, which I did not. Remember, this is all a Christian. Mm-hmm. That's the Christian calling the young man an idiot. Wonder how drunk Sam Sam Johnson was. And then they went on and said, well, is there anything else you'd do differently? No! Because, see, it all went viral on TikTok. I don't know from TikTok, but TikTok's a big deal, especially with the young people. And so the TikTok video does show Sam Johnson following Mr. Stevens and grinning. And Stevens looks at him and says, I'm sorry, I'm gorgeous. And Sam Johnson said, are you? And so the management at the Harpeth Hotel called the cops. And the cops came and found Mr. Johnson at the bar, because of course. For his part, young Mr. Stevens said he just kind of brushed his hateful, homophobic, transphobic comments aside, and had fun at his prom, and good for him. But this is the best part. Sam Johnson said,
they edited that viral video so that it don't make me look like a calm defender of community, family, and decency like what I am. Because that's what we calm community defender and family and decency defenders do, is we walk up to a young man and we call him an idiot.
But nonetheless, young Mr. Stevens said, I didn't let it ruin my night. I still walked into the school knowing I was wearing a dress with 6-inch heels. Boyfriend, you can wear 6-inch heels? Shit. And was serving all the looks. And anybody who wants to look. A guy can look just as hot in a dress as a girl can. And so, Sam Johnson is no longer the CEO of Visuwell. I wonder if they have telemedicine for any outfits that do, you know, trans therapy or anything. Therapy for trans people. Or just therapy for people who aren't among the straight white male community. Maybe that might have motivated him, you think? On Twitter, Visuwell said, his behavior was not representative of our values, which include respect and compassion for all.
Yeah, that's fine. But what about just values that include minding your own fucking business?
Sorry, I'm throwing the F-bombs around a little bit.
You'll have that.
But again, for the mastodons and giant ground sloths feeling themselves being sucked inexorably into the tar pit of history, they must bellow and they must scream as their heads approach the surface of the goo, after which they will be heard from no more. All he had to do, this is what white male Christian privilege will do to you, it is poisonous. All he had to do was, I guess, look, ogle, and move on. But he couldn't. He could not do that. He had to share his white male Christian privilege and yell, you idiot! At a boy wearing a stunning red dress. By the way, he's not only Sam Johnson, not only is he no longer the CEO of Visuwell, he's also no longer on their board of directors. Wonder if he can learn from this. I'm guessing no. Because he was still out there talking about how he's a calm defender of community, family, and decency. Well, what offense was there to community in a high school kid, a boy wearing a stunning red dress? What affront was there to family in a perfectly normal boy wearing a red dress? What unpardonable insult was there to decency in a boy wearing a floor-length, gorgeous red dress? Answer, nothing. None. Zip. Zilch. Niente. Nada. But in the stupid, bigoted, redneck, homophobic, transphobic slop that sloshes around between Sam Johnson's ears, it was, we won't have no community and family and decency no more if there's boys running around to their prom in a red dress. I don't think it would have helped if it had been baby blue, frankly. But goddamn, this is all over the place. This is not the same as, say, a guy in the Bay Area being knelt on until he was dead, which is another thing. Or the desperate attempt of the assholes in the city of Elizabeth City, North Carolina, saying, no, he rammed us. And that's why they jumped out, the cops jumped out of the car and executed him with a bullet through the head. No, it's not the same. But here's a little secret. Good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christians like Sam Johnson make it easier for somebody else to murder someone like Dalton Stevens. And it happens about once a day in the United States. Someone will be murdered for wearing a dress because of antiquated, barbarian, at best Bronze Age notions of gender. Yeah. Stephen, New York. The prom. Why do I have a hunch that nobody at the prom cared about him wearing the dress? Precisely. And frankly, there were probably a lot of people walking up to him going, God damn, you're cute. Because that generation is a lot better at this than my generation and generations older. Not this community. Y'all have made it wonderful. And for that, I thank you. But, well, I think the word hidebound comes to mind. So, you know, enjoy your time away and time off, Mr. Johnson. Maybe you can learn to shut your fucking mouth on issues about which you have no knowledge and no rights. None. Because, Mr. Johnson, your rights ended where young Dalton Stevens's nose began. And that used to be something that people could easily understand, but oh no, no, no. Privileged right-wing, white-wing, maggot Christians can't quite get that through their heads. God alone knows why. Stop it, Robin, says Lee in New York. Sam Johnson was a CEO. I've seen this at several companies. The CEO mindset is that they are the smartest one in every room. Some feel they have to share the wisdom that is better than anyone else's. I can think of an orange example. Yeah, and you add to that, Lee, well said, add to that the fact that there have been studies done that show that sociopaths and psychopaths are, to say the very least, overrepresented in the CEO population. I guess you need to have those traits if you want to be one. I am not a social science researcher, and I do not play one on the radio, but that is my understanding of the conclusions reached. Well, hey, that's cool. I don't think I can cue it up on the fly, but that's a great idea. Our pal Frank in Iowa says, long-distance dedication. How about playing a portion of High Heel Sneakers? As it refers to put on your red dress, baby. Prom night, here we come. Yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, yesterday, because things just sometimes don't work out the way they're supposed to, I was supposed to go to my first in-person therapy appointment. And I wanted it to be special because I haven't been, you know, anything like that. And I really, really appreciate all the help I'm getting from my therapist. And so I got done up. Felt good. And, okay, felt cute. And that's okay. That's really so okay. And I got halfway. Yep. I got halfway to Beckley and the phone rang. And they just wanted to let me know that my therapist was out sick and wouldn't be in today. Yesterday. And to go ahead and keep my next appointment. Okay. So I turned around, came back, got degussied, and went back out into doing stuff around the house for a little bit. But it feels nice to feel good in your own skin. And fuck Sam Johnson with a white and I do white hot, and I do mean white hot poker, for daring to think that he had anything to say whatsoever to a young couple just going to their prom. You know, because it's not so, it would, you know, if there was say a black guy and a white girl, or a white guy and a black girl, it wouldn't be okay. For Sam Johnson knows it's not okay to do to holler anything about, yeah, you're mongrelizing the races again, miscegenating. But now Sam Johnson has learned that it's not okay to go after a boy in a dress, because shit may just get bad for you, because you may experience some consequences. Billable Rick, right to the heart of the matter. What was a grown-ass man like Sam Johnson doing at a high school prom? Trolling for underage boys or girls? Investigate that creep. Well, he was actually tying one on at the bar in the Harpeth Hotel. I think the prom actually took place at the school, but the happy young prom couple went by the Harpeth Hotel for a little pre-prom festivities. They're, you know, too young to drink or anything, but they can be out on the town and looking gorgeous. You know, the best part of all is that I hope that young Mr. Geitman and young Mr. Stevens, and I like to think that they've got parents who love them. But the guy with the family values doesn't. Ugh. And so, you know, I guess I notice these stories more now. Because I have a red dress. Right? Yeah. All right. Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you so very kindly. And thank you to Kat. Very much indeed. I can happily say that Joey and Giraffery's challenge is met. Jeremy did that, and Kat got us halfway to the Clueless in Charleston challenge from our dear friend Media. Thank you, Kat. Thanks so very much. I did read that right, didn't I? Let me check. Yeah. Thank you, Kat. Thank you, Jeremy. And 25 more bucks, and we will have finished the Clueless in Charleston challenge, and we'll be on our way, hopefully, to knocking out a little bit more of the deficit for the week and the end of the month. Thank you. I don't know, Darlene says. It might mean that those rednecks are afraid of the hard-ons they might get from looking at Dalton in that red number, or that he might cause the breakup of their marriages, or they might have impure thoughts. Maybe Dalton should be required to wear a beekeeper suit, a burqa, like they do in Iran and Afghanistan. I'm sure that would be fine by Sam, because, you know, women's. Mm-hmm. Don in D.C. says, one thing I'm looking forward to is that you're a mimic. Those voices you do. If we're still here eventually, it'll be interesting to hear you having to mimic the females. You know, soon, maybe. I already do that. I guess just not very well. But I'm working on it. Okay, that's a cowbell for Jeremy, the old dude at the prom. Are we sure the old man we're talking about wasn't there just to make sure his daughter's chastity belt didn't get chiseled off? Wait, are you saying he's a chiseler? And I have a note here that says, as an asexual male, if I'm to accept your transness, can I ask the horn community to not be constantly running a dick-measuring contest out of respect for my viewpoint? I didn't know we were doing that. Because I'm not trying to. Really, I'm not trying. There's not. Never mind. But, yeah, I think, you know, what is laughingly or at least somewhat humorously referred to within the community as the alphabet mafia is actually now LGBTQIA+. And the short term for the A part of LGBTQIA+ is ACEs. And I noticed one of my friends today pointing out that the ACEs, asexuals, are every bit as much a member of the community as the L's, the G's, the B's, the T's, the Q's, and the A, and the I's. So, yeah, absolutely. Oh, and Sam Johnson, part der. Oh, dear. Bilbo Rick says, I noticed that Sam Johnson bears a striking resemblance to our very own Joey of Giraffery fame. Are you sure it wasn't Joey in the hotel lobby wearing a Sam Johnson mask? Although Joey and Giraffery have much better manners. What really happened on the moon? Okay. Yeah. Well, no, because Sam Johnson didn't have a giraffe with him, so I think that lets Joey out of it. And of course, then again, nobody's ever seen Sam Johnson and Joey in a room together. So yeah. Thank you, Ralphs. We are now $5 away from meeting Nidia's Clueless in Charleston challenge. That's tremendous. Thank you very kindly. And I guess we should probably move on to some other stuff because there are other and more important stories out there on this prayer meeting Wednesday. Like the fact that I'm surprised that there isn't already a band that has been named German Breakout Monkeys. For the third time in 2 weeks, a pair of Barbary macaques, 10 Barbary macaques, busted out of the Löffingen, Löffingen outside Freiburg, Germany, last week. And for 2 weeks, they busted out three times. And they've been found, among other places, roaming around the surrounding forest. And the local officials were working to recapture them. And the story I'm looking at says, how the animals managed to escape was still unclear. But police did have to ask the public, you know, please don't try to feed them. Don't try to capture them. Don't approach them. Because previously they'd busted out and four of them were found hanging out by the highway, which is another band name, German Monkeys Hanging Out by the Highway. And then a dozen monkeys got loose previously. They said it might have been construction work at the park in that instance. They're shy and they're timid, but they can get cranky if you fuck with them. They're sweet little critters, Barbary macaques. If we were a little bit more tightly produced program, that story would have been accompanied by the opening strains of the Hogan's Heroes theme. Hogan! Yeah. But there is really and for truly serious news this evening. Among other things, going back. Oh, yes, thank you. Lee in New York points out, because the moon has been referenced, farewell to Apollo 11 astronaut Michael Collins. I saw the headline today, and because history, you know, Michael Collins dies, I was like, wow, that was like 1921, I thought. And I thought he was bumped off by his own vote. No, this is Michael Collins, the pilot of Apollo 11. Who didn't get to set foot on the moon. He was busy flying the capsule. But yeah, as the saying goes, Godspeed, Michael Collins, for life well lived. No, like I said, serious stuff out there. Remember back when they busted the good God fearing, upstanding, Bible believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian terrorists who wanted to capture, kidnap, and then try and execute Governor Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan. It keeps getting worse for those guys because they're really horrible people. They've new charges have been added to three of the defendants, according to the Department of Justice yesterday. 40-year-old Adam Fox, 45-year-old Barry Croft Jr., and 23-year-old Daniel Joseph Harris were indicted by a federal grand jury yesterday on charges that they conspired to use weapons of mass destruction. That's in addition to the charges they already had hung on them in October of 2020 for conspiracy to commit kidnapping. And according to the federal government and the Department of Justice, these three maggots, because they were going to try to blow a bridge to harm and hinder Governor Whitmer and her security detail and any law enforcement officers who were trying to respond to the kidnapping. Croft and Harris are also charged with possession of a destructive device that was not properly registered with the National Firearms Registration and Transfer Record. And the six who were all indicted in this in this insurrectionist plot were upset. Well, because one, they had been done to a tender turn by the ravings of Nitwit Nero, and also because, well, God damn it, they're free Americans, and they have every right in the world. Ever right in the world to mow their snow in March in Michigan. Assholes, it's snow blowers, not snow mowers. But we got a terrorism problem. And it's serious. Recent announcement by the DOJ says that we can expect something on the order of 500 charges at least coming out of the attack on the Capitol of January the 6th. By my lights, that is not enough. Not by a long shot. And I still don't. I still think we need to damned well make sure that we get all the way to the top of this thing, all the way. Yeah, all the way to the people who funded it, ran it, made it happen. Oh, and here's a lovely story of a fuck up. No, it's not a lovely story at all. Oh, I've been giving a cowbell. Thank you, Jeremy. For world, combined with it's snowblowers, not mowers, assholes. Well, thank you, Jeremy. I appreciate that. When last we heard of the National Ruble Association's Wayne the Peter, he was grunting and barking in a bankruptcy trial in New York. But, he needed some getaway time. You remember the last time he needed some getaway time? He fled to a yacht off the Florida coast months after Parkland because he was afeard for his life. Well, now, by way of getting away, Wayne the Peter lit out for the Okavango Delta in Botswana to hunt an elephant. Sick, sorry motherfucker. I'm sure he paid for the right to slaughter the elephant. The National Ruble Association sponsors a TV series called Under Wild Skies. And so they took a film crew and they took Mr. LePeter and he put on his khaki Hemingway jacket or what the hell ever. And they were going to shoot an episode about the studly, manly Wayne the Peter shooting a heffalump. Well, it turns out that the New Yorker got hold of the footage that never aired. And, well, okay, it was 8 years ago. But it just came to light with the New Yorker. So the guides tracked down an elephant for Wayne the Peter. And then Wayne the Peter proceeded to fuck up the hunt. He hit the elephant with his first shot, but he only wounded it. Then the guides got him up to very close range. The elephant lying on its side, suffering. Couldn't move. And then Wayne the Peter, the guy who says that the only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. He shot the elephant three more times. In the wrong place, point blank. And finally, a guide, according to the New Yorker, a guide had the host of Under Wild Skies finally fire a shot that killed the poor beast. What a dick. The elephant was 50 years old. My goodness, what a man Wayne the Peter must feel like. I have friends who hunt. I have friends who fish. I get that. I tried it. I was no good at it. I don't like killing things. Twice now in my life have I actually run over a rabbit on Easter, and it just made me feel like shit. I will stop and yell at squirrels to get out of the road on the back roads here near the mansion, saying things like, "How many times have I told you? Get out of the road! Look at Fred up there! He's squished! Learn!" We also yell at the deer and tell them to get out of the road. We're humans. We're not nice. Oh, but my goodness, some people do enjoy killing things. Some people are only happy when they're killing things. Call me crazy, but I think that that's probably a character flaw. Ted Nugent out there crapping his pants in the bush. And trying to chase down some gazelle or some Thompson's gazelle or ibex or bunny rabbit or what. It's not the same as being a hunter-gatherer who hunts for food. Killing things for sport, I think, is just gross. But are we surprised that somebody like Wayne DePeter would be that kind of person? No. Because the National Ruble Association draws in a lot of bucks from people who love to hunt. It's awfully satisfying, isn't it, when once in a while the hunted gets a little bit of vengeance? I frankly would not shed a tear if I saw a news story that said that showed an elephant carrying Wayne DePeter skewered on its tusk. How about now, great white hunter? Got anything else to say, Wayne? Jeremy says, oh, that's good, especially for prayer meeting Wednesday. Jeremy said, well, if you just waited 3 days, the rabbit would have got back up and hopped off. 3 days, yeah. Jesus Christ sees his shadow, looks down on the ground, sees his shadow, runs back in, doesn't come in 6 more weeks. I know. Lee says, of course, the squirrels don't understand you, Robin. You need lessons from Kronk and the Emperor's New Groove. Squeak, squeak, squeak 'em, squeak, squeak. It's not like I haven't seen the movie. Shit. Here's a story coming from Darlene from The Guardian. Biden's pick for Supreme Court reform panel is a conservative Kavanaugh defender. Oh, my God. Adam White. Ew. I'll have to take a look at that. Meanwhile, let's run over to the stress line, because I got somebody who's been waiting. Hey, welcome to the program. Hello? Yeah, hello? I'm here. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I hear you. Oh, your signal must be a real mess, because this phone is kind of you.
Let me call back.
Okay, is that you, Dave?
Yeah.
Okay, let's try this again, all right? That's our buddy Dave in the blind. Hopefully, he'll have a little bit better signal this time. In the meantime, well, there's Dave again, I think. I hope it's a little bit better now, Dave.
Yeah, can you hear me now, Robin?
Yeah, I gotcha.
Okay, good. This Samsung is not the best phone in the world. Christine was released from the hospital to a nursing home today. However, the geniuses at the Veterans Administration sent her to the wrong one.
Wait, what?
They sent her to the wrong nursing home.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
She was supposed to go where my nephew's ex-wife. Our nephew's ex-wife is the director of nursing, and she also has another friend that works there. But they sent her to another nursing home 5 blocks away. Now get this. They're not going to be able to move her for at least 2 weeks because she's in isolation.
Oh, for God's sakes.
And to say the least, my beloved is really happy with them. and she's shown her happiness. Like, well, what the fuck is going on?
Maybe it's the secret fucked up rehabilitation program, Dave.
Well, you know, if they think they can just pick on some blind woman because, well, she's blind, I don't envy them drawing back the bloody stumps I know will be coming.
Yeah, I don't envy any of them.
But I thought I'd call you guys because Agnes was nice enough to ask me to keep everybody informed. So
oh, absolutely.
I'm doing
the minute people knew that you were on the line, I immediately got an email saying, make sure we get a Christine update.
Well, and I'm here for that. I think. You know, it's the goddess. You're forgetting the goddess of irony has Sam Johnson in the palm of her hand because he's proof that Gabby Johnson got laid in 1877, being that Gabby's Sam's great great grandfather. So. There's your Blazing Saddles reference for the evening.
Oh, my God.
Hello?
Yeah. That's amazing.
Oh, you just now figured this out? The way it sounded was, you know, I think we ought to send the ghost of Cleveland Little to visit him and say...
Yeah. No. Well, you know, I was thinking of you earlier when I was talking about, who was it that I said pogo sticked up onto the cross? But yeah, there we are.
Well, you said Sam Johnson pogo sticked up.
I'm being persecuted for my Christian family decency values.
Well, you know, Sam has been a problem child around the shop. For a while. He keeps going, well, can I get crucified today? And we're like, no, Sam. You haven't paid your bill.
I figured he'd had a run-in with the boys down at the shop.
You know. But he's intellectually challenged.
And a CEO into the bargain. I mean, you know... I wonder, do they carry their own signs with them? You know, the INRI, I'm nailed right in. I mean, does that go up first or last?
Well, we don't usually allow outside custom parts. You know, we're in a union shop.
No outside custom parts. That's good.
I mean, after all, we're a union shop.
There's a contract, damn it.
You know. So, but no, Christine called me about 4:30 and told me, those sons of bitches. When she starts off like that, I'm like, oh, God.
Here it comes.
So my sister-in-law. So my sister-in-law is looking into why they screwed it up. Because the other place was ready to take her. And I told Christine...
Somebody really dropped the ball here.
Well, they told her, they gaslighted her and told her that she told them 21st was fine. There's no sidewalks out there on 21st. I'd have to take cab to and from, and she said, as long as I'm here, don't come see me, because I'm afraid for you. So.
Aw, damn.
I really don't want to worry her. She's doing it. Robin, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I heard, oh, damn, and I thought maybe you'd spilled your water or something all over you.
No, the O dam was no sidewalks, and she's afraid for your well-being.
Well, I told her I wouldn't come see her as long as she was there, but we would try to get her back to the other place. And they're bitching and moaning that she still has to learn to feed herself and to dress herself. Well, we found out what the problem was with the feeding. The utensils they were giving her were too heavy for her. She couldn't lift them. And she couldn't control them.
Oh, my God.
And as far as dressing herself, she can do that now. But they wouldn't answer any of her fucking questions. Like, her eyesight's getting a little better and a little better. But she's wondering what options they have. And they go, well, there's nothing we can do surgically. No, but there are things you can do non-surgically. But they're not answering her questions on any of that. Because they're doctors. You know, you got to go to medical school to evade questions. Right here, I thought you had to become a lawyer to do that. But
No. Lawyers specialize in obfuscation. Not answering questions is a medical school thing.
Oh, it is? Oh, so there's a clear, defined line. So the doctor...
Damn right, there's a union!
And there are plenty of drunks in the Bar Association. Just because it's a Bar Association.
Precisely. Ooh, sorry about the microphone. Well,
I should know better. I have plenty of friends who are lawyers. So. But, yeah, things have been going pretty good. I had the most awesome barbecue. A friend of mine's getting married, and he presented his beloved with the wedding ring, a nice diamond affair that, oh, it was gorgeous.
Ooh, lovely.
And they made the best ribs with a sweet bourbon barbecue sauce. That was not too sweet. Oh my God, Robin, this stuff. Oh, it was heavenly. They offered me a beer, and I opted instead for the 1 liter bottle of Pepsi because trying to pour me up the ramp at my house would be kind of difficult.
It never stops with you, Dave, trying to pour me up the ramp. Are you, one beer? Are you saying you're a cheap date, Dave?
Well, yes. Yes, I am, as a matter of fact. Just don't tell Sam Johnson. I don't want him getting any ideas.
Well, if you stay out of the stunning red cocktail frock, you should be fine.
Well, that's fine. Oh, I saw the picture you had on Twitter. That's a very nice picture.
Well, thank you.
I've been kind of worried about you, that if you didn't have help, you'd look like a little old bag lady in about 20 years. We don't want that.
No, we so don't.
We want you looking as good as possible.
Well, if there's any good photos of me are entirely the result of the considerable talents of the lovely Agnes. She took that picture.
Well, and it shows. You better stay on her good side, Missy. I'm telling you.
I every day I try.
Well, that's all we can ask.
And you know, Saturday's a big day. 28 years.
28 years, man. That is a while.
And I mean, when they talk about for better or worse,
you've seen it all. Good and bad.
Yeah, I got the better and she got the worse.
No. She'll
probably start yelling at me through the walls any minute now.
Well, she I think she's doing quite well, thank you.
Yes, she is. But thanks. I appreciate the kind words on the photo.
Reminded me of a friend of mine, a woman I knew when I lived down in Bloomington, who normally didn't dress well, but one night she decided to put on the little black cocktail dress, and she rocked it, completely rocked it. So, you know, I told her, I said, you look good in that. You should dress up more often. She goes, oh, it's too much work.
It is. I'm learning. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. You don't come springing out of the bathroom in the morning looking like that.
No.
So did your electrocution go well?
Okay. And, we've talked about future strategies. There are things that are, coming that, it's part of what you have to deal with to do this, and it ain't going to be fun.
Yeah. Well, but look at it this way, Robin. I mean, I've heard you say many times, and I've heard others like Jessica say, you work on the outside to make the outside look more like what the inside feels like.
Bingo.
So, you know, so if that takes a little work and a little pain, okay.
I've waited this long. It's worth the work.
Well, yeah.
And frankly, I feel it, I know it, I can't speak to others' perceptions, but I feel like the years are falling off me. And it's a wonderful, it's just great. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to talk about it so much, but because there's ever so many other stories out there. But yeah, I appreciate it, Dave. I really, really do. And everybody else who has been so kind.
I just think I have been with Christine for over 30 years. So I know, you know, what it is to be with someone and around someone for that long. And that's toughest work you'll ever have.
And the most rewarding.
Because it's like my grandmother said, after my grandfather died, she said, there were days I wish they'd declare open season on husbands. But then she said, but I'm sure he wished there were days they'd declare open season on wives too. So, you know, and they were married for like 43 or 44 years. They got married right after World War II. He'd been stationed in Venezuela guarding the oil fields. And he came home, got married, and my mom was their first kid.
Wow.
And she was born at home. My mom was born at home. She was not born in a hospital. And for the first 15 minutes of her life, my grandfather had a son. And when my great aunt Virginia cleaned her up, she came back, looked at my grandfather and said, Don, you have a lovely daughter. There was some swelling, and it looked like she had a penis, and she didn't. So my mom was my grandfather's first son for the first 15 minutes of her life.
How did that play out?
Oh, she was a daddy's girl from then on. I mean, Grandpa never. I never heard him raise his voice to, you know. He was always there for her. He was always, I mean, they had other children. My Uncle Tim died when he was 4. But, and they had another baby that died at 3 days old. So, for the most part, my mother was an only child most of her life. And the people in my family look like each other so much. My mother looked so much like my grandmother there toward the end. It was scary. But I looked like my Uncle Tim. As a matter of fact, I saw a picture of him with a broom sweeping off the front porch when he was about 3 years old. And I thought it was a picture of me. And my grandma says, "No, honey, that's your Uncle Tim."
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. But, oh, and if you want something, if you have access to Netflix.
Yes.
Look up the new Animaniacs. They've cut it down.
Oh, that's Hulu.
Okay, well, if you've got access to Hulu.
Yes, I've watched, I think I watched the first 5 or 6 of them. Pretty good, really.
Okay, so you've seen the one where they send up Wayne LaPeter.
Yes, yes.
And the NRA. Yeah, that's the one I thought, you know, Robin would love this.
No, when that came, Dave, when that came back, I had the Animaniacs theme stuck in my head for, dear God, a couple of weeks. There's baloney in our slacks. Yeah,
yeah, it's a very catchy. Yeah, yeah. Hope the Horner will have Robin sing.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, the Warner sister Dot remains my favorite.
Right. Well, and she's the smartest one of the bunch.
Yeah.
She is the smartest one of the bunch. Because the boys are, well, they're the boys.
Exactly.
She's the brains of the operation.
And, in fact, you mentioned Jessica a few minutes ago. She was bantering on Facebook the other day and posted a GIF of Babs Bunny. And right to the heart.
Yeah, they cut out a lot of the older stuff, you know, some of the other characters. It just focuses on the Warner kids. But,
well, they saved Pinky and the Brain. They saved Pinky and the Brain, and that was important. Because,
oh, yeah, Pinky and the Brain, but how can you
not? And I'm not sure. Somebody, the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department will have to address this. But I just got done, it was last week, we watched Mank on Netflix. The story of...
I started watching.
Fantastic movie. And especially because... I can only assume that the voice that they used for Orson Welles was the guy who does Orson Welles so well, and also voices the Brain, and I think Pinky too.
He does both. I think he does both, or his writing partner. Someone. Actors have all been some of my favorite. Of course, everybody's from the Big Blank, and there's only going to be one of those. So. And I was.
You're breaking up again, Dave. Dadgummit.
I said Mel Blanc died because he fell out of a hospital bed. Yeah, I thought it might have been cancer or something, and evidently he did have cancer. But they forgot to put the side rails up.
Oh, for God's sakes.
And he rolled up, and so died all those voices and all those characters. I thought I saw some animations of Elmer Fudd singing. And I thought you could really go some places with the Fudd family singers, you know.
Well, I heard somebody, I forget who the comedian was, but there was one some years back who did a brilliant rendition of Elmer Fudd singing Bruce Springsteen, particularly Born to Run. In the days we sweated out on the streets of a runaway American dream. You know, it was great.
Evidently, among people who've done the Elmer Fudd is Robin Williams. And I could just imagine where Robin would go with that, you know.
You know what's weird? I saw a clip of Don Rickles doing the opening monologue on Saturday Night Live, and it struck me that his vocalizations, his vocal patterns, if I had shut my eyes, I could hear Robin Williams doing it. Because, you know, comedians learn from other comedians.
Oh, yeah, and Don Rickles, you talk to any comedian, you know, who's over 40, Don Rickles is like in the pantheon. He's like one of the first guys because evidently he was pretty generous with his time talking to younger comedians and encouraging them. And he had a trick. If you wanted to be the punching bag at his show, he would meet people standing in line, and he would ask them, "Hey, would you like to sit up front?" And if they said yes, they were the target of the evening. He would make them the butt of the joke, and people would wait and would. You know, practically break their arms to get one of those front seats. Because then they could go home and say, "Don Rickles insulted me."
I got blistered by Don Rickles, and all I got was this lousy t-shirt.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's when you're in that kind of area, it makes me, in my mind, the way things work, I was looking for Elmer Fudd sings "You Light Up My Life." And I thought,
well, that's going to stay in my brain for a while. Thanks, Dave.
Right. You're welcome. You're welcome. Especially at 3 a.m. when you hear "You Light Up My Life." And the reason I was thinking about it was, some of the maggots from the previous administration, like Steve Bannon, I heard, you know, when he got married, I was wondering if they had the Fudd family singers there singing "You Light Up My Wife." But,
that would be a delight.
Oh, wouldn't it? And the guests wouldn't even have to take their hoods off.
Okay, wait a minute. That just kind of slipped over the transom. Guests wouldn't have to take their. Yeah, that's good. Well, Dave, I'm so glad to hear that Christine is better. I am not glad to hear that we're finding out she's getting better because somebody screwed up. But on the on balance, is that, I mean, are you considering the whole scenario better news?
Much better. Much better. They're going to send her to Chicago once she can regularly dress herself and feed herself. Then they're going to send her to Chicago to train her with a guide dog.
Oh, wow.
She had to give up Freddie and Sweet because, you know, she can't handle three dogs at the same time. She doesn't know how Freddie and Sweetie would react to the newcomer.
That could be a problem.
And he's a working dog, not a pet. So there's that. And she's like,
well, just please make sure that she knows we're still rooting for her and we're out here and we continue to hope the very best for her. Screw up her assignments and her appointments. Sheesh.
Well, I'm sure she will hand them
plenty of grief over that, and rightfully so.
Well, she just signed the power of attorney documents that my friend Jerry drew up, and I'm the secondary on that. So I told her, I said, tell Kay, my sister-in-law, who's the primary on it, if she needs me to make phone calls or if she needs me to run an errand, and I know what it is that you want, I will do it. Because that's why you have a secondary person on there. And my sister-in-law is willing to quit her job. Now, she owns properties and has an income outside of her job. But she's willing to go to Chicago with her so that she has some family there to support her. And she goes, I've got to take care of my sister. And now Kay's her baby sister. They're like 18 months apart or something like that. And Kay really has been a godsend with this because she's been able to, since she worked at the VA, she was able to pop in and see Chris every day. And she and I have been in communications constantly, practically, to make sure that Christine's affairs are taken care of properly. And Christine told me, she said, when she gets out and gets better, I'm to call Jerry so she can thank him. So I'll talk to you later, Robin.
Dave, you have yourself a good evening.
Don't let those so-called right-wing Christians get you down.
Oh, no, I don't really, the most contact I have with right-wing Christians for the most part is on this program, and that's only at a distance. I try to avoid them, like the plague, because they are.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Dave, you have yourself a good night, my friend. It's great to hear from you.
Give my best to Agnes.
All right. Will do.
All right.
You take care. Bye now.
Bye.
Our buddy Dave in the blind. I'm so glad to know that Christine is improving, although with no small amount of frustration. Sheesh. Mountains to climb. Dear God, Jack Webb sings. I'm not going to do that, Scott in San Diego. I'm just not going to do that. Hey, thank you. Thank you very kindly. We've actually gotten down to, we've gotten down to, let's see. Okay, so, Nidia's Clueless in Charleston challenge was met. Jeffrey's and Giraffrey and Joey's Gussolini challenge got met. And Nidia threw in 50 on top of that. So that's, we've gone down to $650 to go. Thank you to George, who jumped in as well. Thank you, George. 6:50 to come up. So that means all of today and all of yesterday and $50 of Monday. And we're done. And we're, no, well, I mean, we're done with up to this point. So thank you, George. Thank you for jumping in. I hope you get some more company and we'll hopefully knock out some more of this. Okay, I didn't know that. Ron and Raleigh pointing out the voice work after Mel Blanc passed away was taken over by his son, Noel Blanc, who is now retired. Eric Bauza now voices Bugs Bunny. Wow. Continuity. Good. By the way, Flavio points out that I forgot to mention in the Wayne the Peter story, his wife is even more depraved. After he had botched the killing of the elephant that didn't need killed in the first place, Mrs. the Peter took a knife and went up and cut off the elephant's tail and then cried out, because I guess these are just the sad and sorry lives of these pathetically horrible human beings. She cried out, "Victory!" Yeah. Oh, and speaking of Flavio's, the Flavio's, as we all know, is in Wisconsin, so I got a good Wisconsin story for prayer meeting Wednesday as we enter the third hour of the program. Easter services at St. James the Less Catholic Church. Grammar problems. Is that St. James the Less Catholic Church or St. James the Less Catholic Church? Less Catholic Church, more... I don't know. But the Gospel Sharp who runs that joint is a guy by the name of Reverend James Altman. And he's got a bit of a history, Reverend Altman does. It was back in September of 2020 when he declared, well, it was a message for people who weren't going to vote for Trump.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Family, let us pray. Precious blood of...
What's with the fucking music? I mean, that couldn't be more ominous if it was Tubular Bells or the Toccata and Fugue in D minor. Dun-na-na!
Christ, only begotten Son of the Eternal Father, blood of the incarnate Word of God, blood God. Falling upon...
God. He said, it sounds like Dan Aykroyd. You know, we're on a mission from God.
Upon the earth in the agony, blood shed profusely in the scourging. Blood flowing forth in the crowning of thorns.
Blood, 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 blood. Yeah. Well, he goes on a little bit later and he says that climate change is a hoax and says that you can't be a Democrat and be a true Catholic at the same time. So he doubled down. Yeah. It was about a week ago. When he fired up the gospel machine there at St. James the Less Catholic Church. Isn't a Less Catholic Church just an Episcopal church? Never mind. No, this guy's a real live... No, he's a Catholic. And the church was packed butthole to belly button for Easter services there at St. James the Less Catholic Church. More heathen, less Catholic. Sorry, I just love that. And in the church bulletin, he calls the COVID vaccine an experimental use of a genetic-altering substance that modifies your body, your temple of the Holy Spirit. And then went on to say, it is diabolical for anyone to virtue signal shame, compel you to take such an experimental drug, making you nothing other than a guinea pig. And the people who tell you to take the vaccine are lying to your face. And then, because, again, prayer meeting Wednesday,
God is still the best doctor and prayer is still the best medicine.
Funny how God apparently bumped off some 600,000 Americans and millions worldwide, and he's killing in India right now with a will. Ugh. There we go. Tax the Jesus out of these businesses. They violate the separation of church and state almost every fucking service. Jesus was not one of these white pricks, says Jeremy in Vermont. And he's absolutely right. And he went on in that butthole to belly button, LARPing and smollicking and grabulating and spewing and fuming and whatnot Easter service. He gave the magic cracker to about 170 people, placing it in their mouths with his hand. You remember the Greek Orthodox priest story who said that, from months back, who said, no, well, you know, the Holy Spirit will keep you from getting the COVID. Got to wonder how Pope Frank, who was trained as a scientist, feels about people like Reverend Altman. And, of course, Reverend Altman, Pope Frank says nobody should oppose COVID restrictions, that it has nothing to do with religious freedom. And he said, please, for God's sakes, really, I'm the Pope, I can say that, get the vaccine. But, no, he's a maggot, Reverend Altman is. And so far, the Diocese of La Crosse, Wisconsin hasn't done dick to get rid of him, and instead they're working privately with Reverend Altman. That's another way of saying, hey, we wouldn't throw him out if we caught him fucking little boys. What makes you think we'd throw him out for this? Kind of tells you a little bit about the Diocese of La Crosse, doesn't it? Sorry, Flavio, my friend, sorry. But the whole vaccine thing, Joe Rogan started a thing, and now other members of other maggots and various Republicans, members of Congress, former members of Congress, are jumping on the Joe Rogan bandwagon. There's a claim going around. They're trying to cancel Joe Rogan now for his clear-eyed understanding of the vaccine. That was, or something like that. That was what former teabag senator from South Carolina, Stan, and I think he runs the Heritage Foundation now, or at least he did. Jim Demented from South Carolina, he is being referred to as a moron. He spoke up in behalf of Joe Rogan, saying he's right and should be applauded. We need more people telling the obvious truth, hashtag facts not fear. And all this because the Biden administration took the fairly rare step of actually taking note of the blitherings of an idiot like Joe Rogan. With Dr. Fauci saying on today, that the last he checked, Joe Rogan is not a doctor. Which he isn't. But then also, because we're just kind of bookending our stupid people from Wisconsin story. Sorry, Wisconsin members of the Horn Family Community Congregation. You know I'm not talking about you, but you know you have a stupid problem. And so the stupidest man in the Senate
the guy for whom Joe Manchin gets up every day and thanks Almighty God. I'm talking about Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. He works in the lumber mill there. He gave an interview to a talk show host by the name of Vicky McKenna there in Wisconsin. And he said, I'm highly suspicious of the big push to get everyone vaccinated. It's not a fully approved vaccine. If you have a vaccine, quite honestly, what do you care if your neighbor has one or not? Well, because if everybody gets vaccinated, maybe we can get back to whatever it was we used to call normal. But that's a little too much for the Ron Johnsons of the world to be able to comprehend. And he, Ron Johnson, is not going to get vaccinated because he already got the COVID, and it probably provides me the best immunity possible. Experts don't know for sure how long this protection lasts. You know, that's what the CDC said. And it's true. Might be 6 months and we're vaccinating all over again. Might be vaccinating even sooner, depending on how these godforsaken variants behave. And, of course, Ron Johnson is, well, he was a big hydroxychloroquine fan. And curiously, Ron Johnson has not decided whether he's going to run for re-election or not in 2022. Time's a-wasting. But the thing is, he hasn't been endorsed by Nitwit Nero. And there's a former majority leader of the Wisconsin Assembly, a Democrat by the name of Tom Nelson. And at present polling, apparently he has a 4% lead, you know, margin of error lead. In other words, it's a dead heat over the stupidest man in the Senate of the United States. No, let's not gender that. The stupidest, well, wait a minute. Going to have to sort that one out. I was going to say the stupidest man, and then I was going to say no stupidest person, but then I remembered that Marsha Gedness Blackburn is in the Senate. Oh my God, they are the Donnie and Marie of stupid Republican senators. Ugh. Oh, and I need to send out an apology. Apparently, I inadvertently did a number on Suman's afternoon repast. God damn! Suman wrote, God damn, the visual of Ted Nugent crapping his pants in a bush ruined my tea and snack. I wish I had brain cleaning bleach. Damn it! Sorry, Suman. So sorry. Sometimes these things just happen. But the tea and the snack sounds nice. I need to get a tea ball or something because some friends of mine over in Fayetteville have a lovely oolong tea, and I can almost handle the caffeine in an oolong, and I love oolong. By the way, as to Wayne the Peter, Ron and Raleigh points out, my local Wegmans managers are named, wait for it, LaPierre, a husband and wife team. And, you know, in North Carolina, that's probably not a bad thing. It's probably not a negative for them. But, oh, my God. Steve in New York, doctors don't even know how long the immunity lasts, so since doctors don't know, we just fucking guess? No, we do the best. Right, we do the best we can. And wait for more information to develop, because science. Right, as to Jesus is still the best medicine. Oh, definitely, Arthur says. Yeah, you should see how jugular blood spurts are shut down instantly, or how broken femurs are perfectly set and fused the instant that you recite the Lord's daily prayer. Yeah, funny how that doesn't work. Scott in San Diego pointing out the Reverend Altman sounds like Michael J. Fox. You know, remake of The Exorcist? I don't know what.
No, sorry. Jeremy wants to know. It's been several weeks of three-day periods. Does Rush come back to claim the mic yet? No. Rush Limbaugh, El Rushbo, is still El Deado. Because we have to keep up with that sort of thing. Oh, dear me. I'm stupid in the Senate. Steve says you're forgetting the dean of the stupid caucus. Senator Jim Snow Means No Climate Change, Inhofe. Jim Snowball Inhofe. In January, no less. A snowball. God. And people send them to office. They don't just get there. Oh, and just in case, because, and I should have mentioned this earlier in the program, there is a possibility the program will end this evening unexpectedly, because we've got about 100% chance of thunder showers here in the fairly near future, and we know what happens to the internet here, and the power here, more particularly, when it thunders. So if I just disappear... Well, that would be, before I disappear, if you hear a bunch of beeping, that's the uninterruptible power supplies telling me that we're screwed, but it could happen. But at least, at least I'm not in British Columbia. No, Don sent this along. Tumblr Ridge, British Columbia, about 900 customers of TELUS lost their interweb tube service. Liz Salve, the TELUS spokesperson, pointing out that a very bizarre and uniquely Canadian turn of events happened when crews found that a beaver had chewed through the cable at multiple points, causing the internet to go down this past Saturday at about 4 a.m. Our team located a nearby dam, and it appears the beavers dug underground alongside the creek to reach our cable, which is buried about 3 feet underground and protected by a 4.5-inch thick conduit. The beavers first chewed through the conduit before chewing through the cable in multiple locations. Oh, my God. Then these enterprising beavers took the cable and used it to build for building materials for the beaver dam they were working on. And it was a bit of a chore for the internet company, because the beavers had dug into frozen ground that humans could not as easily dig into. Well, I'm almost nervous about having shared that story, because, well, I don't know that we got any beavers, but we have some fairly aggressive possums. Ugh. Oh, and something that should have gone maybe in Titanic Tuesday or Moran Monday. This is kind of one for the ages. Because, oh, God, I've screwed up again. Brother Deacon Asa says, all right, okay, now you're receiving hate mail from both the Joe Rogan contingent as well as the BC Beaver Lover contingent. I didn't say anything bad about the beavers. I admire the beavers. I like beavers. Dear God, that's going to go right up there with the sausage-making comment, isn't it? Just walk right into them. I saved you the trouble of sending the emails. I know what I just did to myself. Anyway, it continues to be, well, not exactly a surprise. I mean, if you went to the insurrection and you helped attack the capital of the United States, some of those people were deliberate assholes who wanted to overthrow the government. But when it comes to the foot soldiery for that kind of thing, you take what you can get. And in this particular case, it's Kenneth Kelly,
And curiously, Kenneth Kelly's 58 years old. Born the same year as me. Kind of sends your imagination off into a contemplation of parallel lives diverging from, well, not exactly a common point, but a common year. And Kenneth Kelly went to the insurrection, participated in this in the treasonous attack, and according to the Orlando Sentinel, Kenneth Kelly, 58, also sent text messages saying he entered the Capitol by breaking windows, according to an affidavit from the U.S. Attorney's Office. He turned himself in Friday at the Middle District of Florida's U.S. Attorney's Office in Ocala, Florida. Among the things he's charged with, disorderly and disruptive conduct in a restricted building or grounds and disorderly conduct on Capitol grounds. Pictures from surveillance video and text messages provided to the FBI show Kelly inside the Capitol, which, and this is the fun part, which he kept referring to as the White House. One of his text messages said, "Inside the White House via breaking in windows, Tree of Liberty was watered today." Of course, the Tree of Liberty is watered with the blood of patriots and tyrants. It is its natural manure, according to Tom Jefferson. Inside the White House, he went to an insurrectionist attack on the Capitol of the United States and didn't know it wasn't the White House. By God. I mean, they were still teaching. He and I are both 58, and they were at least in Alabama, they were still teaching civics when, you know, I don't know, maybe... damn it, Randy. Inside the White House. I don't think that painfully stupid is an affirmative defense to treason or insurrection or sedition. But there it is. Yeah. And he was tweeting messages back to his family. He was proud. Kenneth Kelly was thinking he was breaking into the White House. Why would he be breaking into the White House? I mean, it was January 6th. Trump was still there, man. Okay, Randy, all right. Randy noting, well, what do you expect, Robin? You've had two Johnsons and multiple Beavers on the program. I knew it would start. I knew. And up in Vermont, Jeremy is cackling away. I stand corrected. Okay, I'm sitting, but I stand corrected. Ron and Raleigh, stupidest senator? Au contraire. I'd lay cold, hard cash on Tommy the Tuber as the stupidest man in the Senate. While Ron is generally stupid, Tommy is truly duh stupid. I can't disagree with you. Now, I think you're... But he just doesn't have the history yet. He's showing some real promise as stupid Republicans go. But he's going to have to catch up with the body of work that Ron Johnson and Marsha Gedneth Blackburn have. And it is sizable. Kenneth Kelly, Jeremy says, sounds kind of like the guy who thought he'd thwarted the FBI by setting his iPhone back to factory settings. You mean that doesn't work? No, that doesn't work. And the internet goes out, says Stephen, New York. What? The dump truck spark plugs go out? You want the hate mail from BC too, Steve? Or maybe that's a West Virginia reference. I don't know. Easy, says Jeremy. The Beavers just enjoyed grinding someone else's frozen pipe. I should just know better. And then, well, let's head over to Oklahoma, Stan. where they've got a state senator by the who at least hasn't been caught with a little rent boy in his motel room, like what was his name? Stanley, Senator Stanley. Anyway, no, not yet, at least. He's a Republican from Broken Arrow, and he introduced Earth Day legislation, but along the way, and by the way, his Earth Day legislation was a bill to ban paper straws, because he hates paper straws, and he's got a right to plastic straws, and fuck all them goddamn fish in the oceans that is being polluted with the plastic straws. I don't give a goddamn. I don't know fish. I'm American. I eat meat and beef and pork and chicken. And so he was, he introduced his Earth Day legislation to save us from the scourge of paper straws. But along the way, Nathan, who is, he's white, and wears a pink necktie. Well, he must be very secure in his Christian masculinity. But Senator Nathan Dom had to get a shot in, for some reason or another, at Vice President Harris. Yeah, because uppity.
They fall apart. They turn to mush quicker than Joe Biden trying to string together coherent sentences. They collapse like Mitt Romney under the slightest amount of pressure. And even with Kamala Harris, well, never mind. I want you to finish that sentence. What were you going? What direction was that sentence going?
There's a lot of different things that could be said about that. With her vast experience and how she got her start into politics, in talking with some people, one thing that could be said is that, you know, you can't use a paper straw for a milkshake, but maybe Kamala Harris could because of her vast experience. Maybe she would be able to get that accomplished.
That's just funny. I don't care.
No, that's not funny at all. For those who may have missed it, what these good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian, Republican state senator from Oklahoma has suggested is that Kamala Harris has significant experience performing oral sex. And that is how she got her start in politics.
People can do their research and they can figure out what that is based on how she got her introduction into politics.
That seems a little misogynistic.
If you look at her history and how she got involved in politics, I'm an equal opportunist. Like I said, I mean, I mentioned Joe Biden, I mentioned Mitt Romney, and yes, Kamala Harris as well.
You know who he didn't mention? Nitwit Nero, who has at least 24 credible claims of sexual assault against him and is still dealing with them in court. Yeah, somehow that and then he if you think I'm going to be politically correct, you need to realize a few things. You obviously know nothing about me. You're in for a bad time. I've been assured my jokes are hilarious and your emotional opinions are irrelevant. But you just heard the audio. He says you need to do your own research. He asserts it as truth. The fact that, you know, it has nothing to do with her being a brilliant student. It has nothing to do with her being a brilliant lawyer. Her political rise had nothing to do with her abilities to engage in retail politics sufficiently that she would go on to be elected Attorney General of the state of California, which is a freaking huge state. No. It is because this disgusting Christian believes, asserts as true, that she became who she was by performing oral sex. Never mind the undergraduate degree from Howard. Never mind the JD from the University of California. Never mind having been a line prosecutor in San Francisco, the district attorney of San Francisco, attorney general of California, U.S. senator from California. No, the guy who graduated from A. Becca Christian Academy Homeschool says she got where she is by performing oral sex. Right. You know, that sounds a lot like actual malice to me. Deliberately spreading false and malicious information, knowing full well that it is false in the first place. Regarding this disgusting Christian, Brother Deacon Asa points out, in fairness, he couldn't mention Nitwit Nero because Nitwit Nero's mushroom dong was lodged down his throat and quite firmly, I might add. Yeah, no kidding. Well, I don't know how firmly. We hear it's not particularly, you know, capacious, shall we say. Yeah, Billable Rick says, hey, who doesn't like beavers? It's starting. Subject line, Kamala. Matt in San Francisco says, never mind that she has never lost an election. Yeah, never mind that, too. Because the dude who graduated from homeschool, well, he knows better. Ugh. Oh, and by the way, maybe there's a something that will resemble, if not justice for a man who's already dead, then at least accountability. The three white men who were previously accused of killing Ahmaud Arbery, well, a federal grand jury got hold of their cases, and indictments were released today. They have been charged with hate crimes as well as attempted kidnapping. William Roddy Bryan, aged 51, who filmed the murder of Ahmaud Arbery. Was charged, as was Travis McMichael, 35 years old, and Gregory McMichael, 65, his daddy. Those were the two who chased down Ahmaud Arbery in their truck and gunned him down in cold blood. And we wouldn't know anything about this if a cop, a retired cop, because not all cops, a retired cop by the name of Gregory McMichael leaked the video of the slaughter of Ahmaud Arbery because he was convinced that the video would never see the light of day and that the public would ever otherwise never know the truth of what happened to that young man whose signal crime was jogging while black. Bastards. Well, best wishes to the prosecutorial team. Steve in New York asks, Vice President Harris's husband, I wonder when the anti-Jewish comments are going to start. While it's often a cliche to say there's no depth to which people will not descend, it's really no cliche with these people. It's truth. And it absolutely is. And it's already kind of out there. You'll recall that she has been referred to as a Jezebel. She has been referred to as a practitioner of an alien, un-American faith, accused basically of being practicing a Hindu faith, when in fact she is a member of the Southern Baptist Church. No shit. But that doesn't matter. Facts don't matter. No. And as to Ahmaud Arbery, Steve says, let's remember to call what those people did to him what it was. A lynching. It damned well was. Oh, and I mentioned Ron Johnson and his advocacy for hydroxychloroquine earlier. Well, there's an indictment out in Florida for Mark Grennan, aged 62, of Bradenton, and his sons Jonathan Grennan, 34, Jordan Grennan, 26, and Joseph Grennan, 32. The Department of Justice has charged all three for refusing to stop selling a COVID miracle cure. You remember this from last year. They were selling industrial bleach. And they were told repeatedly to stop doing it. And they refused. And now they're facing federal charges over it. Miracle mineral solution. Sodium chlorite and water. And they took in, get this, Dodge. They raked in over $1 million selling tens of thousands of bottles of miracle mineral cure, miracle mineral solution. And they hustled it for all they were worth. And you can damned well guess who were the buyers. And along the way, because, well, not the brightest bulbs, they told a federal judge that they would pick up guns and instigate a Waco should the government attempt to enforce court orders that halted their distribution of the fucking miracle mineral solution. And they're each charged with one count of conspiracy to commit fraud and two counts of criminal contempt. And here's the best part. They're facing life, a maximum of life in prison. God knows how many people they hurt. Because when people ingested the sodium chlorite, it became chlorine dioxide. And that's used for bleaching textiles and pulp and paper. Remember a while back we had the story of the parents who were giving bleach enemas to their children to cure the autism? Yeah. Mm-mm. No, not sodium chloride solution. That's salt water. Steve notes. Chlorite. I-T-E. But no, it becomes bleach. Jesus. Oh, what else? Let's see here. Be in prayer meeting Wednesday. Let's check in with Rick Wiles, a wild-eyed anti-Semite and maggot and right-wing maniac. He runs that thing called True News, and he believes that Jesus is a-coming back in his holy rolls just any day. Now, guess who's actually running the country? I was reminded of this story when Steve asked the question earlier about Kamala Harris's spouse. You know the answer, right? Brother Deacon Asa knows the answer. The Jews! Sure.
The reason the ruling deep state of America hates the Russian people and wants to destroy them, it's really at the heart of it. It is the satanic Zionist power that overthrew the Russian government in 1917, did a human blood sacrifice of the Romanov family.
Yes.
A satanic ritual where they slaughtered the Romanovs. It was a satanic blood sacrifice. That same group of Satanists that overthrew the Russian people in 1917, that's what controls America today. That spirit right there is what is destroying the United States of America.
The Jews!
Not to put too fine a point on it, but there was no satanic ritual whereby the Romanovs were bumped off. The Romanovs were killed by the Bolsheviks, so that and it was not the government of the Russian people either that was overthrown. The Bolsheviks bumped off the Romanovs so the Russian people would never have Romanovs to have to deal with again. Because that way you wouldn't have anybody saying, bring back the Tsar. You know, inbred as fuck, clueless, absolute monarchs who considered themselves the owners of human beings, the serfs. But no, it was satanic Zionist Jews. And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah.
Destroying our freedom, destroying our culture, that spirit right there, that's what's making war against Russia.
We're not making war against Russia. Oh, wait a minute. I can see what's going on here from a mile away, can't you? He wants some of those sweet, 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 sweet Putin rubles. Because they spend real good. Well, huggable, cuddleable, lovable, snuggleable Vlad Pooty. Well, golly, yeah. Shucks. He's got lots of rubles. Because he's a thug and a thief. And he's plundering his own country. But hey, it spends. The check clears, right, Rick? Wild man.
They overthrew it. They got free. They got out from under its bondage. And so who's under its bondage now? The American people.
Right.
We're under the bondage of that same satanic spirit.
I'm a little flummoxed because I haven't experienced any bondage. I mean, sure, there are American corporations that are trying to commit genocide in Appalachia by poisoning people and making this place safe for the hydrocarbon industry, but that doesn't feel much like satanic bondage. That just feels like American capitalism.
I got to wonder, and I've said this. Do the people at Right Wing Watch who take one for the team and actually record this stuff, is there a case of cheap tequila kind of under the desk there and they just put the straw in when they start watching and recording? And oh, this is going to be a good one. Steve pointing out, that's right out of Hitler's playbook. When the Nazis invaded the Soviet Union, Hitler used the term Bolsheviks and Jews interchangeably. Yep.
Who attacks us? Who's always attacking us?
Zionists.
The Zionists.
Huh? I mean, I know they were answering on cue, but and God knows with our with our partners in peace there, the Israelis, it's a constant case of with friends like these, who needs enemies? But they're not attacking us. They spy on us. We spy on them. I'm trying to... What? But Emery and Marveline are sitting there in their matching Barca loungers down there at the Ballerina Swan Lake the Trailer Court and Country Club. And yeah, that's right. The Jews. You know, they kill Christ.
There's nobody else attacking me. Zionists. That's not every Jewish person.
Us. Oh, he means him. The Jews are trying to get rid of Rick Wiles.
Shh. Don't tell anybody. I'm not Jewish. Shh.
It's the Zionists. It's the satanic Zionists. They are satanic.
And you know, he can say satanic all day long, but it doesn't make it true. It just makes him nuts and vicious and evil and hateful and halfway to a Nazi, if not more than halfway, maybe all the way. The old Russian royalty, Scott in San Diego. God, Scott, let's just go ahead and dole out the cowbell. It's the Tsar, his wife, the Tsarina, and the children. Wait for it. The little Tsardines. I'll bookend that with cowbells. The little Tsardines.
All Zionists are Bolsheviks wearing different hats.
You better believe it.
That's all they are.
Old Henry Kissinger is one of them. Old Alan Greenspan's one of them.
Come on, say George Soros. But what about the Israelis? They're Zionists. Are they commies? Because if they're commies, they're really bad at it, Rick.
Who has weakened America? Greenspan and Kissinger.
Okay, I admit I despise Henry Kissinger because he's a goddamn war criminal. With more blood on his hands than he could wash off in a million years. But that has nothing to do with his Jewishness. That has to do with his Republicanness.
Yes, Mr. President, I believe we should bomb Cambodia and Laos. We can bomb them into submission.
Why, because he's Jewish? Jesus. True enough, Brother Deacon Asa says, you know, the Romanovs getting bumped off in 1917 doesn't explain the current-day epidemic of polonium-tipped umbrella attacks by bear-riding Christian superhero Vlad Pooty Poot. No, it really doesn't. And the idea of an old commie KGB spook being a Christian superhero. As Steve says, at Right Wing Watch, I think it's more than a case of rock gut tequila. It's a damn tequila drip. Yeah, and you know what? Maybe a little basket of peyote to the side, because you need that shit.
The Jews.
Now they want war with Russia, because the Russian people got free of their chains and bondage and returned to Christ. That's what it's about. They returned. The Russian people returned to Christ.
Yeah, sure. He doesn't even think the Greek Orthodox Church is actually Christian. Any more than he thinks Roman Catholics are Christians. Mary worshipers, idol worshipers. Yeah. It's nothing but one long contradiction, but again, we protect this shit. The Santana's sinuses? Asks Arthur. Yeah, exactly. Sure. But look, it is worrisome. The massing of 100,000 troops on the Ukrainian border. It's worrisome as hell. And it once again, Joe Biden has inherited another nightmare on the foreign policy front. You know, he's doing a great job domestically. And for the most part, that's probably smart politics, because people pay a lot more attention to domestic politics than they do to foreign policy. Foreign policy's wonky. Foreign policy's for people who play Risk. Foreign policies for people who actually care what happens in the rest of the world. And from China to Russia and all points in between, the Middle East, there is not one part of American foreign policy that Nitwit Nero touched that he did not turn to shit what was it, Steve Schmidt, that said everything Trump touches dies, including America's, the United States is what we had in the way of a reputation in the international community. And even though he's nothing like Nitwit Nero, Joe Biden has to deal with the fact that there are a lot of people out there, a lot of countries out there now that say, well, yeah, I mean, he's a great guy, but how long are the American people going to remain sane? He just barely became president. That place is falling the fuck apart. And a little bit of a follow-up in the final moments of the program here. I talked last night about the issue of Afghanistan. And the fact that the story broke of something that happened in 2020 of a woman being beaten for talking to a guy on a cell phone while the people of her community stood by and happily watched her be beaten. And we have a contingent of people who want to stay in Afghanistan, people like General David Petraeus. Well, there was a Senate Foreign Relations Committee hearing yesterday, and the U.S. envoy to in the negotiations, the special representative in U.S. negotiations with the Taliban, an old white dude by the name of Zalmay Khalilzad. He testified that he's not so pessimistic about what's going to happen when the U.S. leaves Afghanistan. I don't personally believe there will be an imminent collapse. God damn, that adjective is doing a lot of work. I don't personally believe there will be an imminent collapse. What a sentence. Talking about the Afghan government after we leave. And the Taliban takes over and does what they were doing all along. I don't personally believe, bang, bang, weasel words, believing, we know about believing, there will be an imminent collapse. I believe the choice that the Afghans face is between a negotiated political settlement or a long war. I hope they will come together and cooperate, he said, telling the Senate Foreign Relations Committee about the Afghan government and the Taliban. And I don't know if anybody looked at him and said, you know the old line about hope in one hand, Special Representative Khalilzad, and shit in the other, and see which one fills up first? Yeah, when you do that, you wind up with a handful of shit. He went on and said that that having a civil war would be senseless. Well, I mean, having a fairly decent working relationship with history, I don't know of a whole lot of sensible civil wars, or a lot of civil wars that were started sensibly. You have, for instance, Pierre Gustave Toutant Beauregard taking a bunch of little boys and having them fire cannons at Fort Sumter. That started a senseless civil war. The civil wars of Merry Old England, pretty senseless. The Roman civil wars, senseless. You know, they had a war, the Romans did, that was called the Social War, because the Romans went to war against their neighbors in the Italian Peninsula. The Social War, why, it sounds lovely. There were beer and Skittles. The opportunity's there, he said, Khalilzad. Our support is there. The support of the international community is largely there as well. Oh, yeah, largely. And Well, the senators more or less implored Khalilzad to tell him how he expected the United States to try, stop that collapse that he says isn't imminent. It's not an imminent collapse. It's just a collapse that's eventually going to happen, you know, inevitably. Not imminent, but inevitable. And he said, most of the people who work in this space think that's the direction it's headed. Our departure from Afghanistan will not improve conditions on the ground. That, according to Senator James E. Risch of Idaho, a maggot. And you're back to that whole mess of American interventionism called hearts and minds. Well, given what that Agence France-Presse story said yesterday, there ain't no hearts and minds. Because when people in a village will drop the dime on a woman for talking on a cell phone to a boy or a guy, they want that. They wanted to see her beaten. Because they are beasts. I hate to say that about anyone, but God damn it, it's true. They come from a patriarchal culture that places no value on a woman beyond her ability to force little boys out from between her legs. And as often as not, that a result of rape anyway. And Robert Menendez of New Jersey asked Khalilzad about the will of all the Afghan people. Well, the will of the majority of the Afghan people, apparently, and at least a significant portion of that benighted country, is to see women beaten for a cell phone call, to see them beheaded on a fake charge of having burned a Quran. The will of the Afghan people is a will not to power, but to viciousness. Yeah. Khalilzad said, you know, there are other areas in which we're less satisfied relative to the Taliban's compliance. The level of violence has been too high compared to what we expected to happen. Why did you expect less violence, for fuck's sake? He added, we will have to see whether in practice the Taliban wants to embrace the modern world. They say they do. Obviously, they have their own values, you know, but those values that they speak about, Islam, that is present in many countries in the world, we see those values practiced differently from place to place. You know what their values are? Their values are beating the shit out of women for talking on a cell phone. Maybe we need to do a better job of talking about just what shitty people all too many of the Afghans are. How toxic patriarchy is. Oh, but that wouldn't be cricket, now would it? And Ron and Raleigh points out, no one ever talks about the polar bear expedition, this back to Russia, when a force composed of French, British, and American soldiers invaded Russia at Archangel on the side of white Russians against the Bolsheviks in 1919. Russia never invaded us. No, they didn't. And the problems that the Bolsheviks had, the Russian Revolution, the problem that the Russian people had everything to do with the response of the West to it. Which is not all that surprising when you consider the way that Europe responded to the French Revolution. You get Napoleon out of the response of the rest of Europe
to the French Revolution, all that liberté, fraternité, égalité business. And the next thing you know, sorry. A country is economically crippled by the actions of other powers, and they become a bit of a paranoid state. A bit of? No, not a bit, an entirely paranoid state. But maybe, again, going back to something earlier from the program, maybe it was a rational fear that people were out to get them, and thus not paranoia at all. And so here endeth Prayer Meeting Wednesday for this 28th day of April 2021. I'm awfully glad we could knock out some of the fundraising and get down to $650. That means that we've got $1,250 to finish the month of April and make sure that there's a May for the horn and for us and our community. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to everybody who, all of our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. You are why this program exists. Thank you. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you so very kindly. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is right here at HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. If you want to, please go over to my Facebook page and read the post. Read the post talks about the activism work of Coal River Mountain Watch. It shouldn't be hard to find. It's right near the top of my page. And always, Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Get your vaccine as soon as you can. In the meantime, keep doing what you've been doing. Stay safe so that we can all be together as a community. Wear your mask, double mask. Be aware of the variants. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Liberally. Maintain your social distance unless you're outside and by yourself. Then you don't, you can, then you, and then you don't have to worry about masks or social distancing. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes up to you saying, "You look like an idiot in that red dress," avoid that person like the plague. Because he is. Later.